This podcast is brought to you by Lacrosse All-Stars, growing the game one podcast at a time. Hello, everyone, and welcome. This is LAS Women, a brand new podcast brought to you by Lacrosse All-Stars. My name is Cassie Brunel, and I will be your host, and I'm really excited to get started with this podcast, and I wanted to give a brief introduction and just call out a couple of things. First is the name, which is definitely a work in progress, so if you have any suggestions or comments on what we should call this podcast, please let me know. I would love to have the word lacrosse in it. I would love to have the word women in it. But women's lacrosse just doesn't seem to be that exciting of a podcast name. Maybe it is. Let me know. Let me know what you think. The second thing I wanted to call out is that the format of this podcast is meant to be pretty conversational. It will be, you know, interview form with some other segments, and every episode is going to be a little bit different. But the format will evolve over time. And so if you have comments or feedback about that, please let me know as well. This first episode is with two of my best friends and former teammates, and it's very conversational, and we kind of just talk about the experience we all had and the program we were a part of, and also kind of what we want to see out of this podcast. So, you know, it's going to be different every time, and we're going to evolve it. But I'm so glad that I have the opportunity to make this happen. And I'll definitely be targeting, you know, the people in my life that I know that are contributing to the game. But I also want to hear from people I don't know and really make those connections. So I'm located in Los Angeles. I'll be definitely working with people in Southern California as much as I can. And whenever I travel, try to connect with them as well. All right, before we get too ahead of ourselves, here is the first episode.
Today I have two awesome women here with me, Miss Charlotte Huguenard.
Oh, wow, thank you.
And Anna Maria Carabini.
Hi.
So just to kind of start out, this is our pilot episode to kind of launch this new idea that I had, and I came to you guys about a week ago to discuss. And my idea is to kind of bring together the women's lacrosse community in a way that doesn't exist right now in the form of interviews and storytelling and, you know, getting to know each other through a podcast. And luckily enough, Lacrosse All-Stars is willing to host that for me. And here we are.
Nice.
Woo! We're so excited.
Let's get started. It is the 4th of July.
Happy birthday, America.
And we are in beautiful Corona Del Mar, California, at the home of
me, Anna Maria, or my parents. but this is where I'm from, Orange County, California. Definitely the definition of West Coast, where kind of the growing of the game really is a big part of how I started playing. My sister's 4 years older than me, and a friend of hers came from Coronado and said, "Hey, do you know lacrosse? They were at soccer practice." And she goes, "What is that?" And then her mom and my mom got together and started the first girls lacrosse program and team in Orange County. And the club team came to my high school. And then I really benefited from that 4 years later. And then my sister and Jessica Demarest, who played at Vanderbilt, were the first two girls to go play Division I lacrosse out of Orange County. So kind of a good grow the game, little story there.
Nice. And Charlotte, where are you from?
Yeah, so I'm from San Diego, California. I did not even play sports until sophomore year of high school. And I instantly was introduced to lacrosse through actually all the male athletes for male lacrosse. And
like really, who?
Yeah, well, like Spencer Peterson, Hayden Schutte. You know, shout out ex-boyfriend at the time. You know what? Hope you're doing well. Anyways, so.
Oh, I thought you meant like professional.
No, no professional. No. All ex-boyfriends.
Okay.
Long story short. Anyway, so lacrosse, club lacrosse in San Diego wasn't that big of a thing back then. And actually, I did, you know, went on the World Wide Web and did my searches. And there was a thing called Team OC. And that's a, it was like a subset of X Team, which all women lacrosse players essentially know about X Team. It was like this huge club program throughout the country. And that is where I actually met Anna Maria. Her parents waiting in line to sign their kids up for Team OC and introduce themselves. And then Anna Maria and I met each other. And that's kind of, you know, where everything else falls through. And so it's like we, she told me about St. Mary's. And I was like, hey, I might want to play lacrosse in college. And, you know, kind of just went from there.
Yeah, so I think it's really interesting because we are all from, well, you guys are both from Southern California. I am from Idaho, and kind of non-typical areas for lacrosse and not really, you know, what they call hotbeds for lacrosse. Now I think, you know, at this point in time, so much is going on in California all around for lacrosse mm-hmm. and lots changed, and we'll definitely be diving into that. But here we are kind of, you know, few years out of college, a few years out of our college experience, and still loving the game and still contributing to the game in the way we can. So kind of taking a step back, I think with this podcast, I think it's really important to remember that lacrosse has, what lacrosse has given us overall, mm-hmm. which I think obviously is one of the most beautiful things, is our friendships mm-hmm. and the shared experiences we have. So what are, like, when I came to you guys with this idea, what were some of the other threads and topics that kind of popped up for you as far as things that you think need to be out there, mm-hmm. And talked about in the community and within the lacrosse world?
Well, something you brought up was, gosh, when I grew up, I didn't really have anybody to look up to. You know, the people mm-hmm. that I was looking up to who were female, the people I was looking up to were, you know, the men's legends of the league. And it was in the men's game, you know, men's game. That's what we were looking to. And I go, yeah, the only legend I knew of was Jen Adams. And my sister said, until you're good at lacrosse, you can't wear two buns on top of your head. So, I mean, that was always great to have her to look up to. But it's so true. There's so many incredible women's lacrosse you know, players and athletes, not to mention like women and people who have gone on to do incredible things. And one area of this podcast I was really excited for you to explore was bringing to light how many incredible people are in our community. Mm-hmm. And one of those people I have been lucky enough to work with, and I hope we can get her on your podcast, is Holly Riley, mm-hmm. Previously Holly McGarvey. And she played at Princeton. She's from New Jersey, played at Princeton, played two sports, won, I'm pretty sure, won national championships in both of those sports. She played lacrosse and field hockey. And then we got lucky enough, she came to St. Margaret's in San Juan Capistrano, and I was able to coach under her for a season and then do some youth lacrosse with her. And she, in my mind, is the definition of a legend. She not only was, is it still plays professional lacrosse.
Yeah, she's in the WPLL currently.
She is. She played in both of the
Philadelphia mm-hmm. Fire, right?
Yes. And she also has done a ton for the Orange County community and not only growing the game, but empowering girls. Mm-hmm. And many of her players are committed to play high-level Division One and are going on to play high-level Division One, and she's an incredible person. So that was something I was, that really is important to me, because it's important for girls to have people to look up to, but then also those people coming back into the communities and changing people's lives is really big.
So that's absolutely. I think there's so much to be said for the women that, you know, have played this game and set records and won national championships and all that they're doing now to give back to the sport. And I think that's such a beautiful thing that is like a cycle, and it only makes those bonds and those ties stronger. Like, even though she's accomplished so much, like, that's, she's never quitting. And yeah, I would love to have Holly on this podcast. She's definitely top of the list. But what about you, Char? Were there any like things that came to mind when it came to you with this idea?
So mine's almost a little bit different. There's two things that I thought of when you were talking about this podcast. Two things that I was excited about, all positives. one of which was the good and the bad of lacrosse and women's lacrosse and playing at a higher level of women's lacrosse. So just kind of knowing that, because I think at the time when I was, you know, entering into that level of higher lacrosse, I didn't know any of that. And I didn't know any resources to seek out or to, you know, ask about. And so that was one thing. And like I said, good and bad, but all good as far as just kind of knowing like everybody's personal experiences and what they liked, didn't like, you know, whatever it might be. And then on the flip side of things with this podcast, talking quite a bit about kind of youth lacrosse and what that looks like in different probably states, regions. Mm-hmm. And I know all of us have dabbled in coaching youth lacrosse and kind of what that's been like for us as far as our individual experience and how that's impacted us as coaches and also impacted the youth that we've worked with and how that's also grown the game.
Absolutely.
So that's been definitely the two things that immediately came to mind when I was like, okay, podcast, women's lacrosse, like this would be awesome to have out there. You know, if I were a listener on the other end, this is what I would want to hear
Absolutely.
About.
Absolutely. And for you, I think it was awesome because you dove back into coaching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think it, would you say, like, really reignited the passion in you?
Absolutely.
For the sport?
I definitely, you know, and I don't think this is everybody's experience, and that's what this is all about, is sharing our own. Is, you know, I think I lost my passion when playing at a higher level, and but then diving into teaching and molding and experiencing youth and the excitement of women's lacrosse and girls lacrosse and like why it's so fun and just kind of the, you know, the ins and outs of all the fundamentals and things like that. It just really does, exactly like you said, reignites your passion and it makes you super excited about it. And because you can see other people's excitement who had never even experienced the sport or known about the sport because their families have never known about it. Mm-hmm. So it's like you're introducing this completely new, you know, thing to them. And so 100%, it definitely, coaching youth has reignited and changed my experience with the sport itself and has made me excited about it again. And it's made me want to play again.
Yeah. So kind of talk about a little bit of your journey with coaching youth in Southern California. And now you're living in Arizona and that is a very different landscape. So maybe if you can dive into that a little bit.
Absolutely. So like, as I mentioned kind of in the previous mention of my background, is that when I was in San Diego growing up, women's or girls lacrosse wasn't necessarily a thing. So club was kind of difficult to get into. There wasn't a whole lot of background for it, not a lot of support. And so when I moved back to San Diego in 2013, and I would say got involved with lacrosse probably more 2014, being part of a really big program and probably the biggest growing and best coaching staff of San Diego at the time, in just girls lacrosse was pretty phenomenal because we had people driving, you know, 45 minutes from inland of, you know, the coast, just trying to be a part of our program. And it's just been a really like overwhelming, exciting experience. And kind of the more excitement you get from others, obviously the more excited you get. And you try to like seek out more resources and seek out more input. And also, I mean, I found myself Googling, you know, how to, you know, do the simplest things that I did in college because I just wanted them to know everything. And I wanted to make sure that I knew everything I could to, you know, mold them into it. Because fact of the matter is, I was never interested in anything growing up. And the second lacrosse landed in my lap, like, that was it. And I was addicted and I was a lax rat and I would travel anywhere in the country just to play more lacrosse. And so being a part of that program in San Diego is really special. And actually moving out of San Diego, that was the hardest part of leaving San Diego. And then moving to Arizona, definitely a smaller, you know, commitment there. But as far as like how many people are playing lacrosse in Arizona, however, on the flip side of things, everybody is very committed to lacrosse, so very high level playing lacrosse. And I joke with the high schoolers playing lacrosse that I coach, and I'm like, they don't even realize that they're better than me. And I played Division I lacrosse. I was like, you girls could whoop me on the field, and they don't even know. And I would never tell them that because I'm like, you know, you don't want their heads to be too big, but I was like, holy cow, these girls are beasts. And so like that's what's exciting to see, like these girls playing at a super high level and getting really into it and like really dreaming big at a very young age. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't have that. I started playing so late. So yeah, that's been my experience and it's been super cool to see.
Yeah, I think, I mean, that was kind of growing up in Idaho. Obviously, I did not have any knowledge of the sport. And it wasn't until my brother, you know, picked up a stick and started playing that I wanted to play. Like, as soon as he started playing, I was like, oh, I want to do that too. And there wasn't a lot of options. I remember, like, I played in fifth and sixth grade in this league with boys and girls, and it was, you know, super limited rules, like no checking and everything like that. And we had these, you know, trainer sticks that...
The plastic ones?
Yeah. I think so. And then eventually, my mom got involved as well, and she took over my high school program when I was in eighth grade, and built that and made it happen, and we ended up winning the state championship my senior year.
Woo! But shout out Bishop LaGrosse.
Yeah. Bishop Kelly.
Bishop Kelly.
And I mean, amongst a limited number of we have a like we said, it is the 4th of July, so there is a lot going on. We had to take a break.
We found a secret gate that we didn't know about.
Because it's 4th of July, so we're at this beautiful house, and everyone wanted to go watch fireworks, and we,
Everyone's like, why are you being hermits in a room, like, recording a podcast? And they're like, it's 4th of July, you freaks.
Because we are dedicated, and we want to get this going.
And we love nothing more than lacrosse.
Yes.
That being said,
4th of July,
we continue.
But it was beautiful. That was so cool how we found that little secret gate.
That was cool.
Super cool. Yeah. Now I know.
We were looking over the beach and the waves were crashing.
Yeah.
It was quite romantic.
And I was like, all I want right now is my lax stick.
Yeah, that's what we were thinking about.
That's all I was thinking.
Well, awesome. So, what should we talk about, guys? We've totally lost our...
Let's talk about our experience together. All three of us. Nobody knows our experience together.
Yeah. I think that's a good place to start.
Yeah.
So, we were all young, 18-year-olds, who decided to go to St. Mary's College up in beautiful Moraga, California. Right?
Yep. That's where it is.
RIP, St. Mary's Lacrosse Division I program.
Yeah.
Yes. That program no longer exists at the Division I level, but
they did very well at the club level this year. Yes. They went to the national championship and got a few rounds in. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, not national championship. They went to the national tournament and got a few rounds in, but it was good to see them doing well at that level.
Yeah, I would love to talk to those girls, especially the girls that experienced when it switched, and how that would have been, like, mid-career being like, oh, we actually are no longer sponsoring this sport at this school.
I don't know if you two feel the same, but I really feel like a strange, it's like guilt. It's like a combination of guilt and kind of sadness about, like, the alumni community and our program and really kind of being bummed. Like, we graduated and we all stayed so close together. We're hardcore Gales, women's lacrosse, but as far as associating ourselves with the college that we went to, and that, for me, like, was always kind of a sadder point. I don't know if you guys feel the same, but, like, I was kind of bummed because everybody does alumni weekend, things like that, and none of us took part in it.
I know. I wish...
And you were big into... I mean, Maria, you were big in the alumni community, like... And or St. Mary's community in general, as far as...
Because I had... a lot of my family members had gone to St. Mary's, but I wonder if this is something that other people can connect to who maybe didn't have great coaching experiences. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I don't think is really talked about in the sport. You know, there's incredible coaches out there from the youth level all the way to Division I and now in professional lacrosse. And a lot of those girls play in the professional lacrosse leagues, but a big thing that I've connected to other girls with is, you know, when you've had tough experiences, and they're great lessons, but I think it does affect your, how you interact with the school after. I know that I had some tough times with lacrosse and the coaching, and it was really kind of painful at times, and it was something that brought me closer with my teammates, but I know it made me have difficulty connecting with the program after the fact. So that was something really, really bittersweet. I was very proud that I played at St. Mary's, but difficult to go back even after that coach had left.
Yeah, and I think building those programs... Sorry, we just had an interruption, but we're working through it.
I'm staying focused as hard as possible.
It's all good. It's all good. But yes, I think there are a lot of different experiences out there, and I hear from friends of mine, and that, you know, the great coaching experiences they had, and, you know, we had a different experience, and, you know, we'll definitely be diving into that more, I think, as well. Mm-hmm. And I think the interesting thing about St. Mary's is there is a lot of history within that program, mm-hmm. you know, with Diane Whipple, mm-hmm. and just the whole, how it all got started. It was mm-hmm. one of the, you know, first D1 programs on the West mm-hmm. Coast, and how that evolved, and, you know, now is no longer, but now there are these huge powerhouses coming mm-hmm. out of the West Coast.
Yeah.
USC.
Now and, having the Pac-12.
Yeah, with the Pac-12.
Mm-hmm. From the MPSF, so that was huge.
Huge. Huge changes just in the past 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, St. Mary's is a small school. We compete normally in the West Coast Conference, which is mm-hmm. primarily smaller schools with, you know, great programs, mm-hmm. but women's lacrosse was not.
Yes, it's a small school. We do have big sports that bring in big money, but we weren't able to fund a huge program as you could compare it to a USC or, you know, Duke, UNC, or like something like that.
Yeah, or I think so. And I think it would be interesting to dive more into that, because I don't know the history, and I don't know how it got started. And I don't know, you know, obviously, we obviously don't know all the details of how it got shifted to mm-hmm. no longer being NCAA D1. So I think that's, I don't know, I think that's interesting history that I would be personally interested to find out more mm-hmm. about.
And I think it'd be great, too, as this goes on, to hear more people's coaching experiences, because, like, I know I've already said it, but, you know, when you talk to girls that have played, you know, you talk about, okay, where'd you play, how'd you play, and then it always gets down to, hey, who was your coach, did you have mm-hmm. a good experience? And some of the best yes. conversations, and how I've become really close with someone instantly, which is such a lacrosse thing, is you're kind of an instant friend with someone, because it's something you share, but that coaching experience. And so I think I would love to have, you know, an episode dedicated to that. I think that'd be really cool. And mm-hmm. I think you learn a lot. And I think it's something for maybe a listener who is starting out playing, just knowing in that this is something you should be aware of. And I think it's
nitty gritty. Like, it's like, you know, everybody tries to fluff everything around, and it's like, you have to know the ins and outs of D3, D2, D1, club, like in college. And it's like, and what that means, and also professional, and what that looks like, and the pros and cons of everything. There's going to be pros and cons of mm-hmm. all of that. And the thing is, like, you don't ever focus on the cons. You just think about what can come from doing this thing.
Right, and like, if that's your goal to play in college, right. like, you're going to do whatever it takes to get there.
And that's your life.
Yeah, and then you get to college, and it becomes...
That's your identity.
That's your college experience. Who you are. Mm-hmm.
And that's what's crazy. It's like, you can choose, like, to go play lacrosse or not play lacrosse in college. Mm-hmm. You choose to play lacrosse. What does that look like for you? How is your college experience different? And I think that so many people can speak to that, and especially people that we've met post-college, obviously now, being mm-hmm. out for, you know, several years now, being like, what was that experience like for you, and why did you choose that, and what do you regret, and what do you mm-hmm. not regret?
Mm-hmm. Because, and I think one of the greatest things about our class when we came in, I mean, it was such an awesome group of girls.
Yeah, like, we lucked out.
We got so lucky with not only just like the kind of connection I think we all had instantly, mm-hmm. but like the athleticism, and then also just like all the things we went through, and being such like an enthusiastic group as mm-hmm. well.
Because I think all of us went in with the expectation that we were going to change the program.
Yeah.
And we were going to be the change. And even though we're small St. Mary's, the doormat of the MPSF, as some of the recruiters would tell me, oh, you want to go to St. Mary's? The doormat of the MPSF. I was like, dang right, I'm gonna change that.
But you
that.
Already had pride for that program because your sister was
That's
there,
true.
Right?
That's true.
So was but that I, a big reason that...
I think so, but it was also you? Like, I've always been the underdog, mm-hmm. you know, in school, on teams. I felt like I've never really been a natural athlete, but I've always loved that if I work really hard, it makes a difference, and my teammates appreciate it, and my coaches do, and I think that's kind of what made me
a benefit to any, like, a team. That was my strength. And
I cannot wait in future podcasts for you to talk about Italy, everything else. I mean, that's a whole another story.
But
being an underdog, you're an incredible player.
But that was a big drive for me, is like, well, you can be part of something and make a big difference, because the MPSF, that was our place where we could have really, you know, made. If we would have beaten a few of the teams, like, that would have been a big deal. And unfortunately, I felt like there were odds against us, and then we were
kind of
set up for success, and that was really difficult. Being a young female who was really confident going in and really positive, and having a group of girls that really positive and had the talent, but we didn't have the leadership, was pretty devastating. And I think we tried to be so positive for so long, and that's kind of hard too when you're trying to grow the game in that aspect, and you have so much momentum, and to have
You need program backing.
And you know what's really unfortunate is, like, I've talked to some girls who come from smaller, like, low-level Division I or smaller programs, and they have family members that will support the program. And you don't always – I don't know. I feel like if you get a good group of athletes and you have good leadership, you can go far away, you know. Maybe not always a national championship, but you can make a – you know –
Well, and it's just about that alumni community, too, and maintaining those relationships and maintaining, like, the pride for the program and bringing people back into it. And I think there was definitely moments where we wanted that, and it just wasn't cultivated in the ways that, you know.
And it's hard, too, because I think we all coach with people who come from big programs. Like, I coach with, you know, girls from Syracuse or Princeton, and 100%. You know, and they're going back for their alumni weekend, and I'm like, we don't do that. That's kind of tough. But that is a benefit to lacrosse, and something that's really great is, you know, they're able to see these girls, coached girls who are playing up in these programs, and like that kind of cycle, but we don't have that experience. And
the programs don't exist anymore for us to even, like, you know, support.
And I'm sure that's across the nation. I mean, when we were playing in from 2009 to 2013, it was during that time that Cal lost a lot of funding, and their program was going to go under, as well as, like, I think, like, gymnastics and some other things. And to be, you know, it is a small community, and we supported them as much as possible. They were able to luckily find the funding to continue their program. But growing up with a lot of those girls who were and playing with them from San Diego and seeing them go through that, it was devastating.
Yeah, I remember
top players too, like, just incredible athletes.
And that was really difficult, but it was really great to see the support of the community.
Well, and I think that's what's so interesting, because this was Cal Berkeley, who was just over the hill from St. Mary's, where we went to school, and we had teammates that had siblings on the team or friends, and a lot of close ties. So I definitely remember, like, feeling for them and us maybe even trying to do something to support them, even though they were obviously our
maybe it was
opponent.
Like sharing a social media post, but that sometimes goes a long way.
It does.
Yeah, so it was definitely, like, in solidarity
with
that. And I think that's the essence of what everyone wants, is people to sustain like, programs to sustain and grow and evolve across the board. And just because one program's doing well or something doesn't mean others can't too. I mean, it's kind of how
100%
we should all think about how each of us are contributing too. So I think it'd be fun to talk about, you know, we met our freshman year, we all entered into St. Mary's, and we were at this athlete orientation,
bright-eyed and bushy-tailed,
ready for anything, and ready to have a great time and work hard. And I remember getting to campus, and I mean, I was a little shy girl, and I was very intimidated by everything and scared a little bit. But the older girls were like, "Grab your stick, like, let's go shoot on the goal. Let's go, you know, shoot on Whitney," or you know. And I was like, okay, like, this is happening, this is life now. And I remember that transition being, I didn't know what to expect. I like, I had trained all summer, I had done the workout packet, but I didn't have anyone else that was from my hometown that was doing what I was doing and that could really even, like, walk me through it or talk me through it. And I remember, like, I had, like, the support of my friends and other friends that were going to play sports in college, but I was the only one going to play lacrosse, and
I feel like that's
which
common.
Is so much better than soccer.
Yeah. And
but, dude, I feel like that's so common, though. Like, even now, compared to back then when we were, like, 2009, when we were trying to go to college to play sports, or right. to play lacrosse.
Yeah.
Now, I feel like still, there's a single, like, a girl who's graduating her high school, playing lacrosse yeah. at a college, and doesn't have the same sport. Like, mm-hmm. they just, it's still not there yet.
So, something crazy, because, obviously, this is not an issue that they have in most East Coast states. No. And, one thing that we're really lucky in California especially is that a lot of these high-level Division I lacrosse players are moving out to California and coaching high school yeah. and youth programs mm-hmm. out here, so which is super awesome, something that I benefited from. Shout out to Summer Crabtree. I love you. She played at Princeton, and she came out and came to coach at St. Margaret's and was really great, but there's
St. Margaret's school.
Episcopal school in San Juan Capistrano. Go Tartans. And, but another amazing East Coaster, she's, I forget her last name, but Coach Kate at Foothill. She coached her last season this season. And I got a text one day from a random number with a bunch of other numbers on it. And it was like, hey, we're going to do summer, pickup games. It's like, what? No way. You know, I'm an old lady now, 27 years old, but I was like, this is fantastic. And
you're not an old lady, by the way.
That's okay.
At all. But anyways. All of these women that are in yeah. the WPL are ranging right around our age. It's awesome. Like, I think we always make jokes that we're washed yeah. up and that we, you know, could never do that again. And I see these girls
Ray
when I...
Bush.
I see these girls when
this
I'm...
for the children.
Watching, you know, college games yeah. and I'm like, were we ever in that good of shape? I have no idea, but...
No.
Anyways, I'm just
no.
saying... Yeah. I'm just saying...
Definitely
think...
not, because I would go out and play with these high school girls, but her biggest thing was, these girls are going to their, you know, college teams... starting in whatever September or August, depending when mm-hmm. practices start, and they need to like have game experience. Like, yeah. they need to get in there and start playing. And I was like, wow, this is such a foreign concept, like doing summer pickup games in, you know, yeah. in Southern California. So it's something as small as that,
and it's people that are keeping you in the loop,
yeah,
right?
Keeping like, you in the loop, and and someone yeah. who's going to provide the goals and stuff like that. And that's just something that I've heard is more readily available and. On the East Coast, but it's slowly trickling in onto the West
absolutely.
Coast. But it takes someone to make the initiative, and it's definitely hard. But that's something that's super cool. It's something small, but it's something really important. So that's not something that I had, and I wish I had, because mm-hmm. I always wish I would go. You know what? One of my favorite parts of lacrosse was going to camp. Mm-hmm. You know, traveling, meeting girls, blah, blah, blah. And I always wish, I go, I wish there was a camp for adults. Like, you have them for the high school students. I wish I could go to camp.
Even in
college, like, I was like, yeah. I wish I, this summer, could go somewhere where I could,
let's
like,
start it.
Be better. No. And even now, I'm like,
adult camp
I miss
league.
Camp. Can I go? So that was a cool thing.
Yeah.
Anyways, maybe there's a concept there we can.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
We'll expand on listeners.
Exactly.
Stay tuned.
But
old school camp.
Yeah.
We could all stay in dorms and
totally.
There could be like beverages.
We'd all
beverages
like to,
are allowed.
We'd all like to go like, back to colleges.
I mean, it's kind of like that Tahoe tournament concept or that Hawaii tournament concept, but less competitive, more like
fun.
That would be cool.
I have a funny picture. I'm hoping you see it forever, and I brought it with me, and it's like not dramatic at all, but like I want to.
Oh, Charlotte is sharing a photo that
she. Yeah. So I wanted to share.
Brought.
So.
But you can't see it.
Well,
but we can
post it. Well. So, and the shows, our coaches at the time, Team Orange County, Team OC. And, of course, this is when I met Anna Marie, and she's the reason why I went to the college, to St. Mary's. And I've had this, and I've, like, found it. And, of course, we're, you know, kneeling next to each other with our face paint on and everything. And this is Krista Samaras, and I don't know her sister's name.
I have no idea
at the time, but
we'll find out.
Incredible experience, but like you see, like I mean, shout out beer.
Sarah Weber, Natasha Markham.
Yeah, Natasha Markham, girls. Like it, you know, really good group of people, and it's like I found this picture, and it's like I treasure it because this was over 10 years ago.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool.
And I met you, like, and so.
My hair was so long.
My hair was so short in this picture. So anyways, just kind of like fun experience to like see like the, you know, difference that a decade makes. That's a decade. And it's like,
well, and I think, I mean, that is kind of, this is perfect because this is like the point I was trying to draw back to, is that lacrosse is really the foundation for our lifelong friendships and relationships that we have today, and that started with our incoming freshman class. And it's incredible that just through everything and changes and life changes and experiences outside of lacrosse, how we've been able to maintain that. And I credit lacrosse for a lot of that for me. Like, I'm so grateful for the game for bringing, not just bringing us together, but like giving us the experiences.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I think you should fully devote a podcast to what does a day in the life look like for 5:15 a.m. wake up call, like, you know what I mean?
And
going from there, like, I think about that because people can relate to that.
And or everyone's experience with actually missing that call and either missing one of practice
or being late to practice.
Yeah. I mean, or those are the best memories.
Freshman 15 and pure muscle and not fitting into jeans because of that. Like, it's just, there's a lot to talk about and a lot that people can relate to.
That's why I definitely want to talk to, like, current players that are
what's changed and what's important to them now, because it's different than what was important to us then, you know,
and what the expectations are too.
100%.
I think that's a really interesting thing to understand, because I think that evolves as a player too, as, like, you know, you're incoming as a freshman versus an upperclassman, like your mentality shifts. Sure. So I'm curious about that too, but yeah, I think
there's a lot to talk about.
There's lots of things to talk about.
Don't forget about my international girls.
Yes, that's true.
And everything that's happening. So it's with the United States and then just abroad. And the goal, of course, lacrosse making it into the Olympics. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of countries out there that are also having those beginning struggles of
And it's growing, it's so teams awesome and athletics.
It's so cool.
It'd be so cool.
These girls are like just picking up sticks and figuring it out.
Right.
And then like gathering women together. Yeah. And they're like, let's do this and let's do this consistently and build a team.
Yeah. Right.
And I think so you're speaking to this because you have a whole experience with the Italian national team for women's.
Yes.
Which we will absolutely be diving into. And it's, you know, with the upcoming world championships in Israel for the men's side. And there's, you know, more teams than ever before on that side.
So great.
It's the international growth of the sport, I think, is one of the things that I'm drawn to the most, because I think it's so cool that all these, like, cultures are coming together and finding commonality with the game. So, yes, absolutely.
Dude, lots to explore.
Yeah. So, yeah, this was just kind of meant to be a little nugget of who we are. Mm-hmm. And trying this out, and it's going to be a new thing that evolves.
Well, we're so excited, and I think there's so much more to come, and just continue to grow this podcast as well as the game of lacrosse.
Like, questions and comments and feedback, like, super encouraged. I'm sure it's like wanting to know, like, what doesn't exist out there already, and like, let's freaking get it going, and like, let's have some fun with it, you know. And let's have you just really dive deep into the world of women's lacrosse, which has not been explored.
No, and I'm like, do we even know the history of women's lacrosse? Like, obviously we know it's a Native American sport, but it's a totally different evolution from the women's side. Right.
100%.
And yeah, there's so much. I was like trying to do some like trivia.
Yeah.
If
you did trivia with me, I would know nothing. I'm so confused. Bad. What's even a rule nowadays?
Oh yeah.
Do I have to wear a full mask? I'm confused.
Yeah. No, I know there's a lot to clarify too. Yeah. So
a lot of fun shit.
Yeah, I think it's good.
I'm excited about it. Well, thanks for having me, Cass.
Yeah. Thank you guys for being here. Thank you for
having
us.
Happy 4th of July. I hope you all had a good 4th of July.
This is how much we love lacrosse.
We are
4th
so
of
dedicated.
July, talking to you suckers.
Yes. All right. Thank you, guys. Love you.
Do you?
Yeah, I love you.
Oh, no. I love... Oh, you're talking about me. I thought you were talking about the listeners.
Oh, yeah. I love all the listeners. Yeah. If you're listening, definitely love
realistically.
You.
Well, I love you.
All the cast. You love us more.
there you have it, our first episode. And thank you so much for sticking through it this long. I really kind of wanted to do a quick fact check on a few of the items that we were discussing because we were not well researched in every aspect of what we were talking about. So I wanted to make sure I brought clarity to a couple of things. So like we said, we went to St. Mary's College of California, which is in Northern California, and was the second Division I program for women's lacrosse in California. In 1999, a woman named Diane Whipple was named the first head coach at St. Mary's College, and she was an amazing lacrosse player and coach and just an incredible woman. She played at Penn State. She was a Hall of Famer. She was a National Player of the Year, played for the USA team, and was just incredible. And you know, then she was living on the West Coast and contributing to the game down in Menlo Park, and then got named the head coach at St. Mary's. In 2001, she was tragically killed at her home in San Francisco. It was actually a pretty widespread news story that she was mauled actually by a dog, and it's horrible and awful and unexpected, obviously. But one thing about St. Mary's Women's Lacrosse is that we really did what we could to keep her legacy going forward. There was an area near the stadium that was named after her. We had an award each year that was given to a player who exhibited just the best spirit and integrity of the game, and it was really in her honor. So I just wanted to call that out as a story that was pretty well known in the lacrosse community, and now it's, you know, been almost 20 years, and her name definitely lives on. And like we mentioned, St. Mary's Women's Lacrosse was reclassified at the end of the 2017 season to be a women's club sport. And they did make it to the WCLA National Tournament, the Division I section, and got 13th overall, which is awesome. And I'm so glad that they are finding success. And I would love to hear from any of those girls that kind of went through that transition period and what that was like. And I think it's really important for those of us that were a part of that program to remember that we were a part of something that was really a pioneering on the West Coast for lacrosse overall, not just with the women's game. And that's really cool. And, you know, we've all had our own experiences within that program, and sharing those stories and maintaining the history of that program is important. So we should definitely keep having those conversations. And obviously this is important to me personally, but I think it could resonate with others out there who have gone through program shifts or just want to know more about the history of lacrosse across the board. Something else I wanted to mention that we talk about is the time when Cal Berkeley almost had their women's lacrosse program cut. And that was in 2011 when it was announced that they were up for the possibility of no longer having a program. And the community really came together. Those girls did a ton of work and they were able to save their program. And I don't know the details of all of that, but I just wanted to call that out, that that was in 2011. Their head coach was Teresa Sherry, who is the founder of Tenacity Project, which is based up in the Bay Area as well and doing phenomenal things for young women in sports. And I would love to dive deeper into that a little bit on the kind of college athletics side. I don't know all the details, but I just kind of wanted to call it out as something that happened and was really awesome that they did not lose funding for their program and that that program lives on. We also mentioned the shift from the MPSF to the Pac-12, which the MPSF still exists. It's the Mountain Pacific Sports Federation. But the Pac-12 now consists of 6 women's lacrosse programs this side of the Mississippi, and that is Cal Berkeley, Colorado, Boulder, Oregon, Stanford, USC down here in lovely Los Angeles, and Arizona State University. My last fact check item is when my friend Anna Maria is talking about the amazing Holly Riley. She mentions that she played both field hockey and lacrosse at Princeton, which is true. She did not win a national championship during her collegiate career, but she did win 2 gold medals on Team USA at the FIL World Championships in 2009 and 2013. So there you have it. That is our first episode. Thank you for tuning in this far. And if you have feedback, suggestions, comments, questions, anything, please do not hesitate to reach out. You can reach me at Cassie, that's C-A-S-S-I-E, at laxallstars.com. You can direct message us on Instagram through the Lax All Stars page, and you can find us anywhere where podcasts are streamed. So thank you for your time, and thank you for being a part of this, and let's continue to grow the game in all the ways that we can.